We continue with our series based on the book of Psalm. If you can help me, thank you, Rosny. And we are now, some way to go. And our section is from verses 57 to 64. We have been reflecting upon the Word of God. Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And today the subject is perseverance in the Word of God. Our text is placed between one section that is based on the Hebrew letter Zion, which is verses 49 to 56, and the other section Tef. And the one section before means nourish. And then the section after means goodness and joy. This section, some scholar says, is about brokenness and breakdown. And I would think, for me, is like the psalmist discovered in the previous section how valuable is the Word of God. And before he experienced the joy, he needs to persevere. He needs to wait. He needs to be faithful. Hence the title, Perseverance in the Word of God. The psalmist understood who is the author of the scriptures, and he wants to get that joy, and he is determined to persevere. Let us pray just for a moment. Let's spend a moment in silence and to pray before we read the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read your Word this evening, help us to persevere. Help us to trust in you. Help us to be patient. Help us to know that you are a loving God. And we can trust in you. So, Father, as we read your word this evening, may your Holy Spirit help us to understand a little bit more of you. So, Father, receive our time together this evening because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist understands that the author of the scriptures is God himself, and he wants to persevere in the word of God. And the first thing he does is that he proclaims his loyalty and requests mercy. He says in verse 57, "You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words." And the psalmist is saying, perhaps like the Levites who have to receive a portion of the divine blessing, he says, "I want my portion." He publicly he declares, "I want to trust in God. I am not ashamed. I want to believe in God." And here we see that the personal nature of the psalmist understanding. He said, "The Lord is my portion." God is personal to him. And he gives the implication that because he is so close to God, he can trust him. And with this understanding, he goes on. He said, "Look, God, I'm going to promise to obey your words." One scholar says, "But if we take the Lord as our portion, we must take him as our king." If we want the Lord to be our portion, here is the Christian complete, taking the Lord as his or her portion and his word as his or her rule. You know, the Hebrew word here means sharing. Here is a portion of God's kingdom. God has included him, and he knows that God is going to give him a portion of his kingdom. He goes on today to issue a promise. He says, "I promise I'm going to obey your words." How does it apply to us? Well, every believer, when we believe in Jesus, that beautiful verse in John says, the moment we believe, we receive the power to be called what? Children. Children of God. So I receive my portion. And as I always say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Looking forward to receive my place. I hope that I will be worthy. You don't feel excited about it. You know, that you is not the house that you live now here is nothing compared to the promise that God has there, your portion. That's what the psalmist said. I want my portion. And I know I have to be obedient. So the psalmist declares his loyalty to God. And for us as a Christian, that is it. So the psalmist follows his realization up with obedience. We should follow the same path because of the portion we are given in Christ. We should follow in obedience to his commandments. We read this morning that the love of God is that when we obey, how we express our love to God, when we obey his commandments. And the psalmist says in verse 58, shall we read together verse 58? I have here again, the psalmist portrays his very personal nature of his relationship. I have sought your face with all my heart. This indicates a relationship. He said, to whom else he's seeking? Somebody he loved to be. You know, when you love your parents, you love your children, you love your grandchildren, you want to see them, do you? You want to be there. Quite sure Magnus wants to see your mom, you know, very soon. He said, we look, it's the same with God. They said, I have sought your face with all my heart. This indicates a relationship. How often will you walk up to a complete stranger and say, hey, really, I need a favor? We will not do that. He will say, get away, you know, walk away from me. You know, that's just what the psalmist said. I want to be in your presence, God. Here, the psalmist is confirming that relationship. The psalmist also indicates that he besieged God with all his heart. This reveals the sincerity of him. The person who knows God will seek his face. When we come to church, that's what we are seeking. As we sing praises, as we pray, as we read the word of God, we need to seek his face. I don't know you, but there are times that you are in a place in worship and something happened to you. It's the presence of God. Finally, the psalmist says, you know, here, be gracious to me according to your promise. This indicates that relationship once again. The psalmist knows that God's promise, and he wants just to seek. He wants to obey him. And you know, the psalmist dwells upon favor and mercy. He never dreams of merit. He's not saying, well, God, I come to church every Sunday. I give my tithes and my offering. I have been a deacon. I have been a minister. I have been a faithful. I'm going to heaven. Be gracious to me, God. Be gracious. The prayer from the tax collector, have mercy on me. That is what the psalmist says. Here we have this, be merciful unto me, rising from his humility. He really loved God. Now, the second thing we have here in this psalm is that the psalmist's life is directed towards God's word. The psalmist says, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. And the psalmist now, he wants to carry on walking with God. He says, I want to be loyal. Please be merciful to me. Now he says that all his life is directed by the word of God. Blaise Pascal, the brilliant French philosopher and a devout Christian, loved this psalm. And he is another person who memorized this psalm. And he said about verse 59, he says, the turning point of a man's character and destiny, this is verse 59, I have considered my way. This is the turning point of a man's character and destiny. You know, he meant that it is vital for every person to consider his or her ways. Understand that our ways are destructive, will lead us to destruction, and then make an about face and determine to go in God's ways instead. Now here, the psalmist is reflecting on his sinful nature. He said, my ways are very dangerous. I better be careful about. He's reflecting about his sinful nature. My own way is dangerous. There is a not popular minister from Scotland. His name was Oswald Chambers. And I'm reading, you know, I'm reading his devotional. And he says this: we have to get rid of the idea that we understand ourselves, that is always the last bit of pride to go. Sometimes we feel that we know better than God. He then quickly said, I turn my feet to your testimonies. The phrase here, turn my feet, literally means I turn back. I don't want to hear myself. How often we seek, you know, we hear people saying, you have to follow your heart. Follow your heart. Or we hear to say, you have to be true to yourself. Those cliches, those well-meaning, but sound like a good advice, but it's dangerous. Because our heart deceive us. The psalmist says, I'm not going to do it. And he says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. He said, I'm going to be obedient. Maybe I don't understand what's going on. He said, I'm going to be obedient. I will not delay. I will just do it. Now, sometimes we hear people that, you know, says, oh, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sometimes we want to do something. And guess what? We don't do it. How many of us sometimes they say, well, this year I'm going to read the Bible, the whole Bible in 1 year. What happened halfway through? Sometimes we say, I'm going to pray more. Sometimes we want revival. People want revival. How much time you spend in prayer? Martin Luther, he spent 3 hours in prayer. I'm not saying that you have to spend 3 hours in prayer. But that's what the psalmist said. I'm gonna do it. I'm going to be obedient. Charles Spurgeon says, speed in repentance and speed in obedience are two excellent things. We are too often in haste to sin, or that we may be in a greater hurry to obey. Why not to start bit by bit? It was hard. I was so ashamed when I was in college. You know, I said, oh, put up your hand. Those who pray 5 minutes every day. Those who pray 15 minutes. And then gradually, I was ashamed how much time I spent in prayer. Let's try to do something like that. It's up to you. You want to hear the voice of God? Spend time in prayer. You want to hear the voice of God? Read your Bible. Don't wait for a preacher to tell you what to believe. The third section here is the psalmist is faithful to God's words in adversity. In order to persevere, we need to be faithful to the word of God in the middle of adversity. Shall we read together this verse 61? So the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget. The psalmist has been in trouble. He continues to believe. So the wicked bind me with ropes, refer to evil of this world, tendering at his relationship with God. The courts of the wicked is a reference sometimes to the life he's surrounded with by wicked men or wicked people, but he is determined to carry on. For us, we are going through tough times. Keep on believing. At night, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous law. The heart and mind of the psalmist is so filled with thanksgiving to God that even when he has to rest, he wake up and said, thank you, Lord, and he prayed. I don't know you, but have you noticed when you wake up in the middle of the night and you bow your knees and pray, have you noticed the difference? There is something when you bow your knees and you just give thanks to the Lord. The psalmist says at midnight, if he's in trouble, he's in adversity, I give thanks to you, for your righteousness. You know, even in the darkest times, you know, he knows that the believer, we know that the Lord will never leave us, nor forsake us. We can know, no matter how evil is around us, we can trust. Even in the darkest time, Christ will be there for us. His promise is not that trouble won't come our way or that evil will not attack, but he will be with us. He will help us to go through the difficult times. Thomas Manton says his devotion, the psalmist's devotion, was earnest and passionate. How much we need, you know, we need to be passionate about the gospel. And sometimes we are not. And we complain about everything. We complain about the music. We complain about the worship time. We complain about the preaching. We are not passionate. His devotion to God was sincere. He regarded time as precious, the hours given to sleep for devotion to God. He regarded devotion to God as more important than natural refreshment. He was willing to sacrifice legitimate things like sleep or maybe fasting for the pursuit of God. How is your trust in God? I know that myself, sometimes it depends on my circumstances. And, I'm motivated because everything is okay. And I have to force myself, like the psalmist said, look, even if I don't feel it, even if I don't see that you are working in my life, I'm going to be faithful to you. And it's then that God will come and do something. We need to be faithful to God's word in adversity. Finally, the psalmist in verses 63 and 64, the psalmist has fellowship, friendship with those who are friends of God's word. He says, I am friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The psalmist enjoyed the special fellowship with those who honor the word of God and hold God's word of those who keep your statutes. His wonderful companionship, you know, he said, David is the king, but he can have relationship with the one who had money, with the one who doesn't have money, with the one who comes from another country. He has fellowship because these people honor the word of God. Now, the psalmist is saying here, the word fear is the one that express honor and awe and respect. For example, if we need to respect some offices, a president, for example. What if Donald Trump come to visit the UK? Well, you need to respect that office, even if you don't like it. The queen, a prime minister. The psalmist says that he will honor, that he wants to spend time with those who honor God. That is unity. We can be united and we can have fellowship only with those who honor God. And the psalmist says, finish the psalm, said, the earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. The earth of Lord is full of your mercy. Having experienced this broad companionship, he goes and says, you have shown me your love. The word used here for God's steadfast love is the Hebrew word that means faithfulness, goodness, and kindness. The earth is filled with your love of God. How does it apply this song to us? Well, the picture I've been showing you the last 2 weeks. That is all. I know I cannot reach a holy, holy, holy God because I am a sinner. I will never be able to do that. Not because I am a religious person, not because I come to church not because I belong to a denomination. It's because of what Jesus did for us in his kindness. His righteousness was placed upon me, and he, in my guiltiness, was credited to Jesus. So there is something to be thankful. And I know that the things I have, they will go. The car I have will be owned. The house, believe me, it will be destroyed maybe. Have you seen those buildings who are engineers? And you know, there are things that will be demolished. 25 years, 30 years. My soul, your soul, is eternal. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son for us. And that is what we come to celebrate, because we have been given eternal life. And you know, the psalmist finished, teach me your decrees. The psalmist doesn't say anything about, you know, help me to be religious, help me. No, teach me your decrees. I want to hear your voice. My friends, the last hymn we are going to sing this evening says, oh Jesus, I have promised to follow till the end. Let us feel ashamed when others are more willing to keep from sleep to spend the time in sinful pleasures than we are to praise God. And we should be more earnest in prayer, that our heart will be filling with his mercy, with his love. Is God's love priority? Or it doesn't mean anything to us. Are we willing to obey his commands to demonstrate our love for him? If not, the psalmist finished, the earth is filled with your love, Lord. The Lord loves us so much, and he wants us to show us the best for us. And perhaps our worship will be just to say, teach me your decrees. The psalmist has given us a template to persevere in how important the word of God is. May the Lord help us to follow what he did in order to persevere and to enjoy the joy of being with the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for the words of the psalmist. Help us to persevere. Help us to be bold and proclaim that we want to follow you. Help us to carry on even in the middle of adversity. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for what you have done for us, for your love for us. And Father, teach us your decrees so we can bring you honor and glory with our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.